In John 15, 13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And glory to God that Jesus Christ saw fit to lay down his life for each and every one of us today. Memorial Day thoughts, he gave some gave all. Remember them this Memorial Day. The sermon title today is Free Indeed. Monday is not a day we celebrate for the start of the camping season, or of a day we celebrate the start of the summer vacation. It is a day that we remember those that paid the ultimate price so we can enjoy the freedoms that we have in America. Freedom isn't free. It never has been. A hero is no braver than an ordinary man, but he is brave for 5 minutes longer. As an American, I have the freedom to complain, and I most certainly do, about the things that need to be fixed, the things that need to be corrected, the things in America that are not fair. But praise God, I can complain without retribution. Do you think for a moment those that are who are protesting, and there's probably those out protesting today, or those that burn the American flag, take one moment to think an American gave their life so I could do this? No, I don't think so. No, freedom is not free. It comes at a cost. As a Christian today, I get to celebrate twice. I celebrate the freedom that I have in America, and I also turn around and celebrate the freedom that I have through the Lord Jesus Christ. People will say, why did Jesus have to die? Why couldn't have God just said, if you believe, you are forgiven? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. You and I do not make the rules, God does. And it would be at the cost of the life of his very own son so we could have freedom today. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11 today. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11. In Hebrews 9 and verse 11 it says, but Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats or calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Jesus, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also be the necessity to be the death of the tester. For a testament is a force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the tester lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and the vessels of ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered into the holy places, made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as a high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifices of himself, and has it appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. As so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, to those who eagerly wait for him who will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Now, I know that's a lot to read, but it's worth the read. If you go back to, go to chapter 10 and verse 11, we're going to read a little more. In chapter 10 and verse 11, and every high priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, "This is a covenant that I will make with them after these days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds. I will write them." Then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin." If you turn with me to John 3:16. Turn with me to John 3:16. And what does it say? Most of you know it by your heart. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Through Jesus Christ I have passed from condemnation to eternal life, not because God condemned me, but because I condemn myself." Oh, how great a salvation that we have received through the Lord Jesus Christ. No longer do I have to condemn myself for my past. No longer am I condemned to eternal punishment, but I have been given eternal life through Christ. No more guilt, no more shame. What did Hebrews 10:17 say? Their sins are remembered no more. No more. Gone forever. That's why it says in John 3:17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." In Hebrews 12:2, it says that Jesus Christ is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. If you look at John 10 and verse 10, another scripture that many of you know by your heart, John 10 and verse 10, "For the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Brother and sister, when it says in the beginning, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy," Satan loves condemnation. He wants you to condemn yourself for your past mistakes, your past sins. Why? So you will condemn yourself right into eternal punishment, never allowing yourself to come into the knowledge of the truth. He wants it to cost you your eternal life in the Lord Jesus. Self-condemnation is a powerful manipulating tool of the adversary. But it says in John 10:10, but Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, that you would be free of guilt, that you would be free of shame. In John 3:17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Condemnation is a powerful manipulator. Maybe as a child you were manipulated by your parents. You will do this if, you will do that if, you will do this over here if. Coaches will do it in high school. If you'll do this, you'll receive this. They do it in the military. If you do this, you'll receive this. Don't you praise God that he never put any of that on any of us? He does not condemn us into a relationship. He did not condemn us into the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus. He says there's no condemnation through Christ. We do it to ourselves. And you would have to think that Satan and the demons would just clap for glee when you condemn yourself because you're hindering your walk that you have with the Lord Jesus today. I can't do this because this used to be my past. I can't do that over there because I used to be involved in this. I can't do that because I used to be involved in this. Satan loves it because he hinders you in your relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus. What does it say in Hebrews? We read it this morning in CE. Lay aside every weight. Condemnation can be a weight of guilt that's hanging on you that will hinder you all of your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. My mother told me one time, and you've heard me say this before, my mom told me one time one of the most wisest things she ever told me is she said, Leo, everybody has a skeleton in their closet. Everybody has something in their life that they would not want to parade out in front of everybody else. But you know what I found out through my life that my mother did not tell me? That through Jesus Christ, I do not have a skeleton in the closet. It is gone forevermore in my faith in Jesus. He liberated that from me. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I love this passage of Scripture. I read it over and over. And every time I read it, I get excited about what the Lord is saying to us today from it. But in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, Luke chapter 4, verse 16, in verse 16 he says, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And his custom was he went into the synagogue on Sabbath day and stood up to read. Now, just feel the power, not from Pastor Leo, but just feel the power of these words as they're shared with you today. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it is written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And when he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, all the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus came to set the captives free. Saints, the prison doors are open. And are you still standing inside? How many born-again Christians are here today still are struggling with past guilt and past shame? Not that God is condemning you, but between Satan and yourself, you are in the prison of condemnation. Christ came that you would be free, and he says that you would be free indeed. In chapter 8, verse 36, he says, if I set you free, you will be free indeed. The prison door is open, Who of you will step outside the door of condemnation today? How many of you today are dealing with past condemnation, past guilt, past shame that you just cannot unload? And it hinders you in your walk that you have with the Lord Jesus. I'd like to be more involved in VBS, but because of the things I've done in my past, I don't deserve that. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want to receive that with the evidence of speaking in tongues, but I'm not worthy of that because I've had this in my life, I've had this in my life, and I had this in my life. And the Lord Jesus came to set the captives free. He opened the prison doors, and the problem is everybody's standing inside and won't come out. He wants you to come out, because he has set you free from that. That's not a part of your life. What does he say? I throw their sins as far as the east is from the west. I throw them into the sea of forgetfulness. He said in Hebrews, we read, I remember them no more. And I ask you today, who would stand up and step outside the prison and come up here for prayer? Who of you that have dealt with that and dealt with that and dealt with that, and today it's done. I'm done with this. I'm not going to deal with it anymore. It's in my past. What does Paul say? I forget those things that are behind, and I press towards the upward call in Christ Jesus. Does anybody need to have prayer today? Father, I just pray that you would bless this congregation. We thank you for the freedoms that we receive. We thank you for the freedoms we walk through. We thank you, Father, for the freedom that we have in America. And we thank you mostly for the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Bless this congregation and these people, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.